The U.S. Army is weighing possible punishment for some reservists in Iraq. Members of a quartermaster unit refused to go on a resupply mission last week after complaining about the condition and safety of their vehicles. Whatever the outcome of the investigation, some observers say the case illustrates ongoing problems with equipment, supply, and training, especially for Reserve and National Guard forces. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
In the heat of major combat, commanders often calculate acceptable risks in dealing with supply problems. The 3rd Infantry Division and the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force did during the invasion of Iraq last year. Lessons learned reports show that soldiers and Marines improvised vehicle fixes, cannibalized spare parts, and stretched acceptable wear and tear on equipment to the outer limits. But the extreme heat and sand, combined with an Iraq insurgency that critics say the military didn't expect or fully plan for, has made it far harder to calculate acceptable risks in supply operations. So says Richard Stark, a former Army colonel now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Our tanks and other vehicles are operating at 4 or 5 times the rate that they would normally be used at their training bases. And the conditions are exceptionally harsh, and they have gone through tires and tank tread at rates that they've never seen before.
In the 1990s, the Army downsized from 18 to 10 active duty divisions. That's made the Army mission in Iraq dependent on reservists in numbers not seen since the Second World War. An equipment shortfall, Stark says, never really caught up with increased demand on the Guard and Reserve. A senior U.S. Army Materiel Command official tells NPR that in the field, active duty and reserve forces are all treated equally when it comes to supply and maintenance. But historically, Richard Stark says, supply problems have been far more pronounced in reserve and guard units. For decades, reserve components have had a lower priority, often getting equipment handed down after active duty forces get the newest gear.
In reserve units, it's not unusual for some of the equipment to be decades old, you know, 60s and 70s in some cases. So when it's time to deploy those units, to the degree that it's possible, they're upgraded, but in some cases it's not possible to give them the latest equipment. And I think this incident suggests that longstanding equipment and resource inequities need to be better understood.
Last November, a National Guard Chinook helicopter was shot down in Iraq. 16 soldiers were killed. It was from the only aviation unit in Iraq that didn't have the latest missile defense system installed. Some parents of service members say the equipment and supply complaints, like those from the 343rd, are hardly unique. Nancy Lesson is with the group Military Families Speak Out.
We've been hearing these stories since the beginning of the invasion and up until today. Two of our members, their sons died in the same situation where a helicopter was shot down, and it was an Illinois National Guard helicopter that was not equipped with an anti-missile guidance system. You know, why is that allowed to happen? That's not okay.
An official at the Army's Materiel Command says they've made significant improvements in resupply and readiness rates of vital equipment since late last year. That's when Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, then the top ground commander in Iraq, complained to superiors that key shortages could imperil future combat operations. Training is also an issue. Today, Guard and Reserve forces make up 40% of the troops in Iraq and the majority of supply and logistics jobs there. The unofficial slogan, "In the rear with the gear," underscores the view that those units needed less combat training than frontline forces. Doug McGregor, a retired Army colonel, says because major supply routes remain precarious in Iraq, supply soldiers there are on the front lines.
The soldier in the 5-ton truck or the fuel truck is repeatedly at risk every time he leaves his post and has to drive essentially through a potential gauntlet of fire.
In response to the Iraq insurgency, Reserve and Guard commanders are working to beef up what they call the warrior ethos in the training of part-time soldiers. And the Army has added basic training scenarios inspired by Iraq, including how to respond to convoy ambushes and roadside bombings. Pentagon officials are also restructuring the balance of active and reserve forces in the military. And to reduce strain on soldiers and equipment, the Army is drafting plans to cut the 12-month Army combat tour in Iraq in half. But that big change, Pentagon sources say, depends on what Secretary Rumsfeld might call known unknowns, the strength of the Iraq insurgency, and the effectiveness of newly trained Iraqi forces. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.